Today, our theme continues from last week. We're just doing a two-part series on the first chapter of Galatians. And last week, we focused on how Paul begins the letter saying there is no other gospel except the gospel that is in Jesus, that he died for us, rescued us from death, and gives us forgiveness of sins as a gift. He said there is no other gospel than that. And now today, in the second part of Galatians chapter 1, he talks about how this message that he received, it's not something he made up, it's not something that he changed around, it is what he has received from the Lord himself. And so we rejoice in that, but we also see that how God took Saul and he became Paul, how he took a man who was persecuting the church and then made Paul into the great missionary, the spokesman of the gospel. And so we'll see that and rejoice in that today. Our order of service today is daily prayer. It's a new order for us based off of morning prayer and matins prayer. So it begins with a number of hymn verses as part of a liturgy. Really what would be the opening hymn is later as the scripture hymn. And it helps us remember this rhythm of prayer as we come to God daily, bringing our prayers to him. So let us begin. God's blessings on your worship, and we begin with the invocation verse. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ. Hallelujah. All of you who were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. Alleluia. You are God. We praise you. You are the Lord. We acclaim you. You are the eternal Father. All creation worships you. Father of majesty unbounded, your true and only Son, worthy of all worship, and the Holy Spirit, advocate and guide. You, Christ, are the King of glory, the eternal Son of the Father. When you became man to set us free, you overcame the sting of death and opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. You are seated at God's right hand in glory. We believe that you will come and be our judge. Come then, Lord, and help your people bought with the price of your own blood, and bring us with your saints to glory everlasting. O God, for our redemption, you gave your only Son to suffer death on the cross, and by his glorious resurrection, you delivered us from the power of death. Make us die every day to sin, so that we may rise to live with Christ forever, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Eternal are thy mercies, Lord. Eternal truth attends thy word. Alleluia, alleluia. Thy praise shall sound from shore to shore, till sun shall rise and set no
Lord, be with you.
And also
with you. Let's pray together Luther's morning prayer. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, in all things, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Almighty, everlasting God, through your only Son, our blessed Lord, you commanded us to love our enemies, to do good to those who hate us, and to pray for those who persecute us. Therefore, we earnestly implore you that by your gracious working, our enemies may be led to true repentance, may have the same love toward us as we have toward them, and may be of one accord and of one mind and heart with us and with your whole church. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Our scripture hymn is "Where Charity and Love Prevail." This is a newer hymn to us. It's a beautiful melody and helps us recognize that it's the Holy Spirit that works in us that helps us to love our enemies and forgive others. And so we reflect on that with this hymn.
His charity we learn, We are in Him made one. For love excludes no race or clan, that name's the Savior's name. His family braces all, whose Father is the same.
Paul's letter to the Galatians comes from his book, first chapter, beginning at the 11th verse. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went away into Arabia, and I returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remain with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. And what I am writing to you, before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. And I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorify God because of me. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The Old Testament reading comes from Zephaniah chapter 3. And the Lord said, for at that time I will change the speech of the peoples to a pure speech, that all of them may call upon the name of the Lord and serve him with one accord. On that day you shall not be put to shame, because the deeds by which you have rebelled against me. For then I will remove from your midst your proudly exultant ones, and you shall no longer be haughty in my holy mountain. But I will leave you in your midst a people humble and lowly. They shall seek refuge in the name of the Lord. Those who are left in Israel, they shall do no injustice and speak no lies, nor shall there be found in their mouth a deceitful tongue. For they shall graze and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God. As the Lord said through the prophet Zephaniah, that he would change the speech of the peoples to a pure speech, and he would make his people to be humble and lowly. So then in the Sermon on the Plain, in the Gospel of Luke, we hear how Jesus teaches what it means to have pure speech, to be humble and lowly before God. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter. In these days, Jesus went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, whom he named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James and John, and Philip and Bartholomew, and Matthew and Thomas, and James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon who was called the Zealot, and Judas the son of James, Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. And Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd sought to touch Jesus, for power came out from him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets." And Jesus said, "I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you, love your enemies and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God." You may be seated. Praise of the Trinity.
Then let us praise the Father and worship God the Son and sing to God the Spirit, eternal three in one, till all the ransom number fall down before
may be seated. That second stanza there, praise for the light from heaven and for the voice of awe. Praise for the glorious vision the persecutor saw. The persecutor saw, the one who is persecuting the church. We praise God for what God did in Saul to become Paul. And in today's reading from Galatians, it's the last two verses are what's so amazing to me. Paul says that he was going around and preaching in different areas. He had not really gone to Jerusalem. He had not been with the original apostles. He had this message from Jesus himself, from that vision he saw on the road. And so he said that he was really unknown in Judea, all the regions surrounding Jerusalem. And verse 23 says, they, meaning the people of the churches of Judea, only were hearing it said, he, Paul, who used to persecute us, is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. Another way of saying it is they glorified God in me. They glorified God because of what he was doing in me. Or another way would be to say, they didn't glorify me. They glorified God for what he was doing. That verse is amazing to me. The one who was persecuting the church, and you heard J.J. read the earlier part of that reading, he was violently going against the church. Saul was the one, the Pharisee who was rounding up the Christians. He was the one who stood there watching while the mob stoned Stephen. And they all put their cloaks at his feet, meaning we're doing this under your direction, Saul. And now this same Saul is going around preaching the gospel. Can you imagine how that must have been really difficult for the churches? Really difficult for the churches. You know, somebody on the outskirts of town comes running into the Christian and says, Saul's coming to town. And you can imagine they all, you know, like shut the shutters and hid in their houses, locked up, just like the disciples, for fear of the Jews. And except in this case, it's for fear of Saul. But then I don't know how he did it. He comes around. Paul starts telling them, no, I have come to believe the gospel. I'm no longer here to destroy God's church. I am here to preach God's church. That kind of idea, to glorify God because of Paul, is really to say, to glorify God because of our enemy. Saul is our sworn enemy. He is coming to destroy us. And now here I am praising God for Saul, now Paul. Praising God for my enemy, who now is my brother in Christ. That is the gospel, right? The letter starts with Paul arguing so strongly, don't forget the true gospel. And part of the reason he was arguing for it so strongly is because he was only there because of that strong gospel, the gospel that says Jesus died for us to rescue us from death, to rescue us from our sins. And Paul is saying, I know that full well because I need Jesus to rescue me from what I have done. And so he's arguing for the gospel. And the people are praising God for what God is doing in Paul, because of Paul, through Paul. But that must have been difficult, to praise God for our enemy. Makes me think of a number of years ago. I was teaching confirmation. And I think we were talking about how, in God's view, all sins are equal. I mean, God can understand. He can get down at our level and see that a little lie is different than a big lie. And, you know, hitting somebody on the shoulder is different than murder. God understands that, that in our realm there are differences. But when the grand scheme of things, when we're thinking about salvation, God looks down and all sins are equal in the sense that all sins separate us from his holiness. So I was teaching this in confirmation. And they were throwing up examples. Well, what about this sin? You know, what about this sin? And somebody, remember this girl, she's like, I get it, but I mean, come on. Like an awful murder, like a serial murder. And this was a number of years ago, and so the thing on everybody's lips was always Jeffrey Dahmer. He was the example. Jeffrey Dahmer, the awful serial killer from Wisconsin. Jeffrey Dahmer was the example she gave. No one. God's not going to forgive him. I said, but that's what grace does. Grace goes that deep. And in fact, Jeffrey Dahmer, in prison, became a Christian. No, she said. That can't be. He's faking. I'm like, well, I don't know. I'm just going to take him at his word. He's been interviewed a lot. There's a book about it. He became a Christian. He knew his sin. He knew how depraved he was. And now he knows Christ. He's a brother in Christ. And she was having a very difficult time believing that. That was before Jeffrey Dahmer obviously was murdered in prison, but as far as I can tell, it was a sincere confession of the faith. That's the depth of glorifying God for our enemies. Glorifying God for this, for what God was doing in this man who we would have seen as ugly, as violent, as just against all people. And now we glorify God because God worked the gospel in Jeffrey Dahmer. And if that seems far-fetched, go back to Paul. We don't know how many murders Paul oversaw, but we know that he was persecuting the church. We know he stood there and watched as they threw rocks at Stephen. And now glorify God because of my enemy. That is the depth of God's grace. Glorifying God in me. So that Paul can say, it's not me, it's God that receives the glory. Which is tremendous. Glorifying God. Well, I want to show you another story, another example of just how God is doing this. It's not just way back to Paul. It's not just these, you know, like some far off place in history, anything like that. I want to show you just a short little couple of video clips of Pastor Hisham Shahab. Hisham Shahab runs a ministry located in Chicago, ministering to Muslims. And he is a Missouri Synod pastor, and this is his story.
Hi, my name is Hisham Shahab. I am originally from Lebanon. I was born in a Muslim family, conservative Muslim family in 1960, and I was caught in the civil war like any other young man. And at the age of 20, I was a college student at the American University of Beirut when my only brother was killed. My only sibling was killed in the civil war by a Christian. I was devastated. I wanted to take revenge, and I got a silencer and a gun and wanted to stalk at my enemies to kill them off. But there was a college course that included some cultural studies. One of them was the New Testament, and the professor chose the Sermon on the Mount. And I was at the height of my, at the climax really of my hate when I heard for the first time, love your enemies, on the Sermon on the Mount. I thought, wow, this is superhuman. So I started reading the Bible on my own. This is really shows the power of the Word of God. It's like dynamite. God. It's a long story, but in 2001, I bumped into a retired Lutheran pastor and an elevator in Beirut. He came to revive the Lutheran Hour ministry in Beirut, and he was looking for somebody to help him translate his Bible study into Arabic. He was like a lone ranger looking for Tom to have a family. So we teamed up together, and I started ministering to different Muslim communities in Lebanon. In 2004, I was called to come to Concordia Seminary in Fort Wayne. I moved to the United States.
My brother, who used to provide for me, when together, only brother, my only sibling, was killed and, by the Christian militia. So I decided to take revenge. I was at the climax of my hatred when I read Love Your Enemies, and I felt this is superhuman. I knew the Quran almost by heart by then, but the Bible was a new thing to me, and I was fascinated by the way he said, let's be the peacemakers, you see, and I thought maybe this is a way out to heal my heart, my broken heart.
Only God could say such words, and that's powerful.
How can somebody love his enemies? It was not something theoretical to me. It was something I was facing every day, stalking them at night with a gun and a silence, you see. So the message of forgiveness was very real.
If we go back to Hisham before Christ, it would be easy to think of him as enemy. And even if we realized we didn't want to take sides in the civil war in Lebanon, even those who called themselves a Christian militia and were attacking Muslims, we kind of say, well, that doesn't really seem to reflect the church either. Even so, for a man to be stalking his enemies with a gun and a silencer, we'd say, a man's an enemy. An enemy to who we are, an enemy to the church. And now, I see him all the time at pastors' conferences. He's a brother pastor. He is a brother in Christ. He runs a ministry that is doing incredible things to reach out with the gospel. And we can glorify God in him. Glorify God because of Hisham, because of what God is doing through Hisham. But it means glorifying God because of an enemy. And so one of the questions to think about today is, who are you writing off as an enemy of the gospel? And it might not be that extreme. I mean, we can read the paper and find extreme examples, and we can pray for those extreme examples of violence or rejection of the church. But who in your lives, just daily lives, who do you write off as being an enemy of the gospel? Oh, that person, they would never listen to the gospel. That person is against everything I believe in. That person hates me. They would never love God. And if God is doing this in Paul, and God did it in Jeffrey Dahmer, and God can do it in Hisham, just think about what God is doing in the people around us who seem to be so opposed to him, and yet that's God's grace. And as difficult as it is to pray for our enemies, to love our enemies, to do good to those who hate us, that's what Jesus calls on us to do, because Jesus sees all of us, all people, Jesus sees all of us as his sheep. Some are straying, but he sees all of us as his sheep. God, give us those eyes. I mean, it's going to take the Holy Spirit working that in us, like that scripture hymn today. It's going to take God's Holy Spirit to work that charity and love and that grace and mercy in our hearts. That's what's going to take from God. But then you can also ask yourself, when have you written yourself off as being too far gone I mean, you're all here in worship, and that is tremendous, and I know you see yourselves as followers of Christ. That's not what I'm not doubting that at all. But I also know every once in a while, some of us, we have those conversations like, I believe in Jesus, but God could never use me. I've been too far away. Pastor, I've seen too many things. I've done too many things. God could never use me. Whatever those doubts might be, this today helps us remember, don't write off yourself. God can use you. God can use you because that's His grace at work. That's His mercy at work to transform you and to use you no matter where you've been or what you've seen. God can use you. And when He uses us in each other's lives, and when He uses us in lives of our friends, our family, when He uses us to bless other people, then we get to glorify God because of what He's doing in you, through you, because of you. That the end of the story isn't that we get all the glory. The end of the story is that we glorify God because of one another. And I think that's also a powerful thing that I want you to remember today, and to somehow say to one another this week, I am praising God because of you. I am glorifying God this week because of what He does through you. I am giving thanks. This is a glory to God because of who you are and who He's made you to be. It's a powerful message, and it's a true message. It's what God is doing in you. So glorify God this week. Glorify Him by recognizing how He is working through someone who's right around you. And when we glorify Him, we stand there and we say, God, thank you. Thank you for Saul into Paul. Thank you for Hisham. Thank you for the radical ways in which you bring us back from the brink, and we are now your servants. We give you all the glory. Amen. Please stand to sing.
To the God of Israel, sing praise for His visitation, redeeming His people from their sin, accomplishing their salvation, upraising a mighty horn within the house of His servant David.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. You may be seated. Our offerings and prayer requests are now received. In our prayers today, we give thanks. Bethel's first day in the prayer room was Friday, so we give thanks for the prayer room, for the way it's drawing our people, our churches together in prayer. Our second day is coming on Saturday. Also, pray for the National Youth Gathering team for their continued preparations. They had a participant parent meeting this past Thursday. We also give thanks with the high school youth campout. Blessings on their they had a good time together on Friday and Saturday. We also pray for Janelle Gifford. She leaves today to serve as counselor at Camp Iodisiaca. I think I said that right. What it stands for is Camp Iowa District East Camp. So it's our sister LCMS camp in eastern Iowa, and she'll be serving as counselor there, serving God in that way. We pray for those who are persecuted for their faith around the world, and also the persecutors to come to see the truth of the gospel. We give thanks with Bill and Linda Aestreich on their 58th wedding anniversary. We also give thanks with Bill and Kathy Schwartz. They recently welcomed their new granddaughter. Co-worker, friend of Javier and Michelle Ramon Francisco. I know we prayed for Francisco a while ago. He received a liver transplant, so we give thanks for that. Also watch over that process. We pray for Brody Cordes, continued healing after being hit in the mouth by a batted baseball. Fortunately, the teeth he lost were baby teeth, but continued healing for Brody. Also, we pray for Cindy Elwine's mother, who's 94. She had health difficulties last week, and then suddenly on Friday woke up and was improved, and was feeling well enough to say she wanted to play cards with her daughter. So give thanks for that. Noah Zilligan's friend, Jen, continues to struggle with depression. Someone asked us to pray for all caregivers, to give thanks for caregivers, give them strength, patience, rest. We continue to pray for Maddie Best, who left for France on Wednesday. Also, safe travels for the Lakes High School Choir going to New York. Sarah Papillas asked us to pray for her brother-in-law, who struggles to believe the depth of God's love for him, kind of like we talked about today in the sermon. And then we also pray for Jason Burkett. Jason and his family have been attending here. Jason is a Marine at Great Lakes, and he, because of that, is honored today to be throwing the first pitch out at the Cubs game. So we pray for Jason that God would be glorified through that. Other prayers. Yes, Paul. We give thanks for the life of Muhammad Ali. Others? Yes. Oh, wow. Okay. We pray for the Hoffmeister's niece, Audra, who is going to be spending a second year in Honduras, right, as a missionary. So that's wonderful. Yes, Cheryl. Oh, wonderful. We've been praying for Cheryl Ross's brother-in-law, Wayne, as he's been hospitalized and going through treatments. He is now home, so we give thanks for that. Any other prayers? I think we'll also give thanks. Friday was Sam's 12th birthday, my Sam, and tomorrow is Jude's 10th birthday. Let's join in singing the offertory. Oh, oops, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Don't sing yet. I did this on Thursday night, too. Before we sing, I'd like to have Ben Sanders come up and tell us a little bit about the CCFA walk that the Sanders family are doing and how we can be praying for them and supporting them.
Thanks, Pastor. Appreciate it. First thing I like to do is lead with a quote, and it's one of my favorite quotes, and it goes like this. Everyone you meet is fighting a battle you know nothing about. Be kind, always. And I'm a firm believer that no matter where you sit, no matter where you're at, you're surrounded by people that are fighting battles of some sort. Well, our family fights a lot of battles, and one of the battles that we're fighting is Crohn's disease. My wife, Diane Sanders, has Crohn's, and so we walk every year in the CCFA Take Steps Walk. It will be happening again at the end of this month. So, of course, eventually we will have ways for you to make a monetary donation, but even more than that, we ask that you help us out by praying, which we're about to do here. Pray that cures can be found not just for Crohn's, but for all diseases. Because, again, we all know somebody that is battling something. Let's not write them off. We don't want to do that. But let's continue to pray like we're about to do. Check the bulletin, and you can find all the details about the walk, how to make donations, how to support us. But I also encourage you that if you know somebody you think might have Crohn's disease, might have colitis, and they want to talk, Diane is willing to talk to anyone about it. I am also. Catch us after the service, or just pick up a phone and give us a call, and we'll be more than happy to talk with you privately or publicly about it. So thank you.
Yeah, I think that's one of the wonderful things. I mean, going out and doing the walk is and raising funds for research and things. But the fact that Diane is able to be open about it and to offer that to other people, because, I mean, honestly, intestinal, colon kind of stuff, you know, people don't want to talk about it. And the fact that she's willing to do that is wonderful.
And she is. She is, because she knows it is kind of one of those diseases that everybody's like, oh, I don't really want to talk. And really, it is. If you don't talk about it, you don't create awareness, and awareness is so important. Right. So thank you.
Let's pray. Father, I ask that you'd be with Diane, Ben, Jocelyn, and Marilyn as they do the walk and others that they know for CCFA. And we pray that, again, the funds raised will go to research and helping people. We give you thanks for the ways the medications have been helping Diane. We continue to watch over her health. We give you thanks also that you are using Diane and her family in raising awareness, being open, and being ready to support others who are going through this battle. And it's like Ben said, that we are all carrying different battles, and help us to support and encourage one another all the day long through your light and your love, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And Lord, forgive me for almost forgetting Ben after forgetting Diane on Thursday.
That happened last year, too.
Let's pray. Let's sing the offertory. Please stand.
We praise you, O God, our Redeemer, Creator, in grateful devotion our treasure.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have invited us to come to you in prayer, that as we pray in the name of Jesus, you promise to hear our prayers, answer them according to your will, but you pray, you say that come to you in prayer with our thoughts, our concerns, the things on our hearts, and that you will walk with us through those things. We give you thanks for the prayer room, for the go-together churches working together, especially this month of June, focused on having people there to pray. We give you thanks for those who were there in Bethel's Day on Friday and continue to help us to see ways in which to set aside that time for prayer. Lord, we give you thanks for the National Youth Gathering team and continue to pray for them as they prepare for their trip in July, that it would be a time of growing in the values that you see growing in us, the learning the faith, living the faith, relating to one another and others outside the congregation, serving others, and then sharing that gospel. We also ask that give you thanks for the youth campout, for blessing them in their time together. Continue to bless our youth ministry. Lord, watch over Janelle Gifford as she leaves today, goes to Iowa to serve as counselor at Camp Iodisiaca. And we pray that you would use her in tremendous ways to encourage and support the campers so that they would know God's love through her and that we can glorify you because of your work through Janelle. We give you thanks also for the work that you're doing in the Hoffmeister's niece, Audra. We thank you for the fact that she's entering a second year of missionary work in Honduras. Continue to bring the gospel through her work. Lord, we ask that you'd be with persecuted Christians around the world. We ask that you would guard and protect them. Give them ways in which to hear your word, to have your word, to gather together with brothers and sisters safely, Lord. And we pray for those who persecute the faith. We pray that you would increase in them an awareness of the truth of your gospel so that they can know the hope and the grace, the mercy as that supernatural word that you have given to us, even as you help that word come to Hisham. Lord, give thanks with Bill and Linda Astrike on their 58th wedding anniversary. Continue to guard and keep them in their marriage. We give you thanks with Bill and Kathy Schwartz for their new granddaughter. Bless her and her health. We give you thanks with Javier and Michelle Ramon and their co-worker Francisco. We give you thanks for his liver transplant. Protect and guard him during these days, and may that transplant continue to be successful. We give you thanks with Sam Squires and Jude Squires for their 12th birthday and 10th birthday, and give you thanks for their lives and for calling them to faith in you. Lord, watch over all those that we lift up today who struggle in health. We name their names, knowing that you know all their situations, you know your will, and we pray and trust in you. We pray that you'd be with Brody Cordes, Joanne Heidloff, Randy Kitlinski, Bev Holman, Lucille Owey, Dee Newby, Rhoda Bergman, Marge and Frank Benora, Harry Threadgill, Gail Olson's father, Rich Walker's sister, Susan Squires' mother, Javier Ramon's mother, Ryan Krueger's mother, Carla Thompson's mother-in-law, Paul Delassus' sister-in-law, Irene at Heritage Woods, Ellen Dalrymple's sister Diane and her brother Mark, Julian, a friend of Sheila Bunnell, Cindy Elwine's mother, Noah Zilligan's friend Jen, Cheryl Ross's brother-in-law Wayne. We thank you that he is able to be at home today. Lord, we pray that you would be with those who are in mourning for Muhammad Ali, and we thank you for the ways in which you work through him in this world, and know that he turned from a Christian faith, and yet we pray that there'd be opportunities to see the hope of the gospel, even in the midst of reflecting on his life. Lord, we ask that you'd be with all caregivers. We give thanks for them. Give caregivers strength, patience, and rest. Continue to watch over Maddie Best in France. Watch over her travels. Also watch over the travels of the Lakes High School choirs. They go to New York. We ask that you'd be with Sarah Papia's brother-in-law, who struggles to believe the depth of your love for him, even as we talked about today. We pray that you would open his eyes to see that your love is that deep, and it reaches down for him. We also ask that you'd be with Jason Burkett as he throws out the first pitch at the Cubs game today. Thank you for that honor, honoring him as a Marine and in his service, and we pray that he has opportunity to glorify you through that. We give you these prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen. We continue in preparation for the Lord's Supper. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We pray. Holy God, mighty Lord, gracious Father, endless is your mercy and eternal your reign. You have filled all creation with light and life. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Through Abraham, you promised to bless all nations. Through the prophets, you renewed your promise. And now, in these last days, you have sent your Son. Therefore, gracious Father, with this bread and cup, we remember the life of our Lord offered for us. And believing the witness of his resurrection and his promise to return again, we wait to share in the great and promised feast. Send now, we pray, your Holy Spirit, so that we who receive the Lord's body and blood may receive him with a living faith. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Please share that peace with those around you. You may be seated.
Praise my soul, the King of heaven. To his feet your tribute bring. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Evermore his praises sing. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise the everlasting King. Praise him for his grace and favor to his people in distress. Praise him still the same as ever, slow to chide and swift to bless. Alleluia, alleluia, glorious in his faithfulness.
Now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Go in his peace. Amen. Let us pray. O God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Amen.
Eternal Spirit of the living Christ, I know not how to ask.
You may be seated. A few announcements. There's a bulletin board back there with sticky notes on it where you can grab one to bring donations in for Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School is just in 8 days. It starts a week from tomorrow. So there's some snack items we need donated, also some craft items, so please take one of those today. Also, next Saturday is our next assigned day in the prayer room for Bethel. You can sign up any day, anytime. But Saturday is the day we're trying to cover from 6 a.m. till 12 midnight. If you're interested in finding out how to sign up or learn more, Nicole Todd's here today. Nicole, you want to? And she can sign you up right now today. So please see her. Also, Feed My Starving Children's coming in a couple of weeks. There are still spots available for our group, so you can sign up down on the youth board. Panera, you can go to Panera on Thursday night. If you're going to Thursday night church, of course, you'll go before you come to worship. But from 4 to 8, if you go this Thursday, the portion of the proceeds will go towards Cool Ministries. Please grab one of the flyers that's on the hub. You'll need to turn that in order to for that to take effect. And then lastly, there's actually coffee this morning. So put some chairs away, grab some coffee, and enjoy fellowship with one another. God's blessings.